All right. Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Nun Tes in Avodah Zarah. We are working our way through the fourth parak of Avodah Zarah, and we started just a few short days ago all the gemaras about Yayin Nesach, and we're in the middle of those gemaras regarding Yayin Nesach. It is a little bit complicated and confusing because what the gemara does is rather than give us a straightforward halacha in terms of here's what happens when a guy touches it. Here's what happens when a guy touches it but didn't mean to touch it. Here's what happens when a guy touches it but doesn't touch it with his body, but kochel. He does it with an extension of his body. And instead of just giving us a simple formula for what is prohibited and what's permitted, the Gemara does so anecdotally, meaning that the Gemara gives us stories upon stories, and through the stories, we then come to some sort of understanding of what the basic parameters are of Yayin Nesach. Okay, here's what we know for sure up until this point in time. If a guy comes in and touches your wine and puts his hand into the wine and agitates the wine, so now he has formally asked the wine, both to drink the wine and to get benefit from the wine as well. It's asr b'shtiyah and asr b'hanah. The reason, as we've been discussing these past couple of days, why the wine should also be asr b'hanah is because there are two impetuses for the gzeira of Yayin Nesach. Not one is because of chasnas, because of intermarriage. We don't want there to be social intimacy between Jew and non-Jew, so therefore any of wine that they touch is going to be prohibited. That's because of chasnas. Two is because of Yayin Nesach, because what they do with their avodah zarah is that they take the wine and they libate it in front of the avodah zarah. We know the takrovos avodah zarah, anything offered to avodah zarah is going to be asr b'hanah, is prohibited to benefit from. So if a guy touches it, so he's going to asr it both b'shtia and uvehanah. And we've been discussing now for these past couple of days, what if he comes and he touches it, but he didn't do so b'kavana, he didn't touch it b'kavana. What then becomes of the wine if it's not touched with the kavana? So we've been discussing stories throughout the Gemara. We had a case with Rava that we spent most of yesterday discussing, the case of Rava. A guy comes into the store and he puts his hand into the wine. He says to the store owner, sorry, back up for just a moment, you know, you have any wine to sell? And the store owner says, no, I don't have any wine to sell you. And the guy sees a bucket of wine right in the front of the store. He says, what's this? And he puts his hand in the wine and he agitates his hand, and the store owner is so upset, and he takes the wine and he throws it back into his barrel. And then there was a long discussion yesterday. You remember, we did a lot of Rashi and Tosfos yesterday, how exactly the story went from there. But the Lamaskana, though, the conclusion of the story is that the wine is prohibited. Not only can you not drink the wine, that's a given, guy touched it, but you can't even get benefit from the wine as well. That's what we talked about for a good part of yesterday. We did another story yesterday regarding Rav Yochanan ben Arza and Rav Yossi ben Nuhurai. Right, this goes to the end of yesterday's daf, the bottom of Nun Ches Amud Aleph, going to the top of Nun Ches Amud Beis, where they asked somebody to pour wine for them. They didn't know he wasn't Jewish, and they asked him to pour wine, and he poured wine for them, and now they're looking at each other after the discovery that he is not Jewish, and they looked at one another, and they said, oh boy, what do we do now? And the Gemara brought down various opinions in terms of what is the correct halacha over there. Gemara ranges in opinions from the wine is mutter behana, I'm sorry, the wine is mutter b'shtia, all the way to the point of the wine being asr behana. Okay. Fine. Okay. That was the Gemara that we did yesterday. We're going to continue in the Gemara today. Nun ches amud beis ba minei Rabbi Asi mei Rabbi Yochanan. Yep. Ba minei Rabbi Asi mei Rabbi Yochanan. It's in the middle of the Amud, Nun ches amud beis 58b. And it's less than halfway down the page. The first word in the line is Rabbanan, and the next word is Baminei. Baminei Rav Asi, Rav Asim, Rav Yochanan. The following question was asked from Rav Asi to Rav Yochanan. Yain, she maschu ove kochavimau. What if a non-Jew were to be masach? That's a term that we don't have very often in the Gemara. Right? It's an unfamiliar term to us. And it means, Rashi says, but the Gemara is going to say in just a moment, it means meziga, dilution. You know, their wines back then were strong wines. They weren't the kind of wines we have now. We have weak, wimpy wines. That's the kind of wine we drink nowadays because we are weak and wimpy. But the but back in the good old days, though, their wines that they drank were strong, and they went through a dilution process. Usually, the ratio was 3 parts water to 1 part wine. That's a, can you imagine? It's like a syrup. It was like a syrup that they had back then. And the Gemara now entertains the following discussion. Guy doesn't touch the wine, doesn't put his hand in the wine, simply dilutes it, which means pouring water into the wine. Now, not that long ago, we had the discussion about, well, aside from Kocha, we had the discussion of Nitzok. Nitzok, right? That there's a connection between, you pour something, there's a connection between that which you pour and that which it's poured from. Okay, let's, for this discussion, let's leave Nitzok out of the discussion, and let's just deal with what, you know, how much contact did it come with the wine. So, first of all, the Gemara right away doesn't like the terminology that's used, because whenever we talk about dilution of wine, we use a very specific type of terminology. We use meziga, right? That's the terminology that we use, meziga. So the Gemara says, first of all, talk normal. Say the word as we're used to saying it. Mazgu, meziga. He says, look, I quote Psukim. I'm a Tanakh guy. And the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Tavcha, Tavcha, Mascha, Yena. And the Pasuk in Mishlei describes dilution through the term Mascha, Yena. Okay, so I'm a Tanakh guy. Amalei, Lashon, Torah, La'atzma, Lashon, Chachamim, La'atzma. Very interesting. The Gemara says, look, that's nice. I'm glad you're a Tanakh guy. But when we are in the Beis Medrash and we're talking like people talk in the Beis Medrash, so you got to use Lashon Chachamim. I mean, the rabbis have a certain way of describing dilution. You got to talk in our language. You can't, don't use the Tanakh terminology. Tanakh terminology, not diminishing it, not saying it's anything less, but it's just not the way we talk here in the Beis Medrash. So now that we got that out of the way, the formality out of the way, so what is the halacha? What if a non-Jew were to dilute wine? Does that wine become aser? Aser mishum lech lech amr nazira schor schor lekamra lo sikrav. Common phrase used in the Gemara. He says it's aser, but it's aser because you shouldn't do it. What do I mean by that? Meaning that it's not absolutely aser. Right? Did the non-Jew touch the wine? No, he didn't. Right? All he did was pour water into the wine. He didn't touch the actual wine.
What if he would have stirred it?
Okay, stirring is a different issue. But he just poured water into the wine. So can I tell you that it's aser? No, it's not aser. But don't do it. Right? The Gemara here gives us a description, which the Gemara often does. Lech lech amrin nazira schor schor lekamer lo sikrav. You're a nazir. Right? The Gemara here is giving us a mashal, an analogy. You're a nazir. You're not allowed to drink wine. Are you allowed to walk through a vineyard? Sure. Sure. But don't do it. Right. Right. So you are allowed to walk through a vineyard, but don't do it. Just not smart. Meaning you're an Uzzi, you know you're not allowed to drink wine. You know you're not allowed to eat the grapes. So don't walk through a vineyard. So is it Usser? No. But don't do it. Right? So over here the Gemara says it's the same thing. Right? Can a non-Jew dilute the wine? Yeah, but don't do it. Right? Rabbi Yirmi Aikol Asaf to Chazacham de Mazgav and Kocham Vishta Yisrael Minei. Rabbi Yirmi went to the town of Sabta. He sees a non-Jew diluting wine, and a Jew is drinking it. Vasalohu. And he says, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. Why? Mishum lech lech amr nazira. Schor schor lekarma lo sikrav. Go around the vineyard. Don't go through the vineyard. That's what we tell the Nazir. Same thing over here. Don't do it. Don't drink from the wine. Is it us or no? Are you allowed to do it? No. Eat my name, Amr Rav Yochanan, Amr Lam, Rav Asi, Amr Rav Yochanan, Yain Shemaz, Gov, Gochav, Masu, Mishum, Lech Lech, Amr Nazira, Schor, Schor, Lekar, Melo, Sikrav. Rav Yochanan says the same thing as well. Don't do it. It's not us, but don't do it. Reish Lakish, Ikla, La Batra. Reish Lakish goes to the town of Batra. Where is Batra? I don't know.
Batra.
Right. Iraq. So right. Okay. So, so people here are more geopolitical and more know more than I do, which is always the case. But there is a town mentioned in Chumash called Betzer, I should say, right? And that's one of the places where the Ari Miklat is set up. You know, Ari Miklat is set up in Israel. Three on the left side of the Yarden, three on the right side of the Yarden, right, the west and east, if you will. And one of the towns on the right side of the Yarden is a town called Betzer. Now, Betzer sounds like it's in Israel, okay? But this is not where he went to. He goes to a town called Batsra, okay? And it's not the same as Betzer, as the Gemara will point out in just a moment. So Reish Lakish goes to the town of Batsra, Chazi Yisro Dekach Lepere, and he sees a Jew eating fruit, Delo Ma'asrei, and he didn't take off Shumas Amaisos from the fruit. Now, this is important to realize. Batsra is outside of Israel. And as you're going to see in just a moment, the Gemara is going to be very clear, you can't do that. You can't eat fruit outside of Israel without taking Trumas HaMaisos. Now everyone here should be wondering, wait a second. Wait. I live outside of Israel. I don't take off Trumas HaMaisos. Okay, so hold on that question, because that's the correct question to ask. But in the meantime, let's just get through the Gemara first. So Reish Lakish goes to the town of Atzrachaz. He saw the Kachli Pered de Loma Asrei. So he sees a Jew eating fruit, and Trumas HaMaisos were not taken off. Va'asaluhu. And Reish Lakish says, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. Two. Chaza Maya de Sagdilu of the Kochavim. He sees water that was worshipped by a non-Jew. So the water now becomes an object of worship. Right? Not Takrovis Avodah Zarah, but actual Avodah Zarah itself. And he sees a Jew drinking the water, the asalahu. And Reish Lakish says, you can't do that. Three, also the comment of Rav Yochanan, no, three. It's funny, I thought three. Sorry. Two. Two things Reish Lakish sees happening in the town of Batsra, and Reish Lakish says, wow, you can't do that. And now he goes back to Rav Yochanan. Now, in both of these cases, as we're going to see in just a moment, it wasn't as bad as he thought it was. It wasn't as usher as he thought it was. He goes to his Rebbe and his brother-in-law, Rabbi Yochanan. Also coming to Rabbi Yochanan, Amar lei, ad miktorcha alacha zil hadar. He says, look, don't take off your coat. Go back to Basra right now. Because you messed up. You gave the wrong psak halacha in Batsra. You need to go back and you need to correct yourself. Batsra, love hainu Batsra. Number one, Betzer and Batsra are not the same place. So although you gave a ruling which would have been great if you were in Betzer, you weren't in Betzer, you were in Batsra. That's number one.
It's outside of Eretz
Yisrael. And two,
it's Betzer Bagilah.
Right. Two, umayim shorabim ein esarim, and also the water which was worshipped. I'm happy that water was worshipped. That doesn't become avodah zarah, right? It's umayim shorabim. It's public water, and umayim shorabim ein esarim. Public water does not become usher, right? Like we've been discussing now a number of times over a course of avodah zarah, it is not yours. You can't usher something that doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the public. Right, it's Maim Sharabim. Rav Yochanan Tami Dam Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Min Yor Tzedek Maim Sharabim Ein Esarim Hadiyach Nesarim. Right, if it's public, so then it doesn't become Aser. If it's an individual, it becomes Aser. So the water didn't become Aser. So go back to the town of Batsra and tell those people in Batsra I was wrong. Number one, I was wrong about Trumas HaMaisos. That's okay. You can eat it without having to take off Trumas HaMaisos. Two, I was wrong about the water. Water was worshipped. But it doesn't become also because it's Mayim Sharabim. Now, before we go through the back to the Trumas HaMaisos discussion, the Gemara just has a couple of things it wants to tie up, loose ends, if you will. Tepeklei daha mechubarim ninu. So, first of all, before we make the distinction of public water versus private water, first of all, water is ground. We've been discussing one of our basic rules about avodah zarah is that if it's ground, it's impervious to avodah zarah. Right, al Elohim al haharim. God's on the mountains and not the mountains themselves. Mountains don't become avodah zarah. So, and water in this discussion is mountain. Water is land. So the Gemara wants to know. Just say it simply. Mechubarim nenu. So the Gemara says, "Lo tzrichu de talshinu gala." So the Gemara says the water in this particular case was a gal. It was a wave. So and a wave was disconnected. Sof avne harshin nidaldalu ninu. So the Gemara says, okay, wave disconnected, wave detached. Remember, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, we had the discussion, what if a rock is dislodged from a mountain? You didn't do it, it just happened on its own. Nature took care of it, but it becomes dislodged. It becomes detached. What is the status of that rock that becomes the Tesh on the mountain? You'll also remember that that was subject to a debate. So the wave of the ocean is similar to rock detached from the mountain. Testayim de Rav Yochanan Damar Asuros. Now, we at the time did not know who said what. Right? We know it was a machlok because we don't know who said what. If Rav Yochanan now is saying that it was a wave that's detached, so it comes out now that he's the one that says it's Asur, and that's why here he had to make the distinction of private versus public. So the Gemara says, look, he was tofech b'yad, the wave was not only detached, but he actually picked up the wave with his hand, the water, he cupped the water into his hands, and so it's no longer part of the terrain. It's no longer part of the ground. That's why we have to make a distinction between public versus private. Okay, good, period. Okay, that ends that discussion. So there are essentially, two things that Reish Lakish saw happen in town of Batra. He asked them, and Rav Yochanan says they are not asr, they are in fact mutter. There is a Tosfos, we're not going to go through it, it's big. It starts on Nun Ches Amud Beis, it goes through Nun Tes Amud Aleph, it covers a lot. And here in this Tosfos, he discusses Trumas and Maestros outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yes or no? For or against? And he has it's a very basic Tosfos, it's a very fundamental discussion about whether or not the mitzvah of Trumas and Maestros apply outside the land of Israel. Okay? It's too much for now. But if you want, later on today you can take a look at it and see why it is in fact we don't take off Trumas and Maestros outside the land of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, let's go on to the Gemara. Rav Chiya bar Abba Ikla Gavla. Rav Chiya bar Abba goes to the town of Gavla. Okay, anyone know where that is? So in Tosfos he actually has that discussion. Ikla la Gavla. Tosfos is now toward the bottom of the page. Mefarsh ba'aruch har Seir. Okay, mountains of Seir. Right. Where is that exactly in Eretz Yisrael?
Jordan.
Right.
Jordan.
Yeah, but where? Okay, Har Seir. So he went to the town of Gavla, and Chaza Benos Yisrael de Me'avra Me'avdi Kocham Shemalo V'lo Tivlo. Here he sees the following three things. That's why I thought three. This is three. So number one, he sees Jewish girls getting impregnated by converts, but not fully converted. Not fully converted. Come back. I'll discuss that in just a moment. Chaza Chamer de Mazgo Avdi Kocham V'Shasi Yisrael. Two. He sees wine that was diluted by a non-Jew. Not touched by a non-Jew, but diluted by a non-Jew. And three, Chazatur Musa, Deshakalu of the Kocham Achle Yisrael. And three, he sees Tormusa. Now, in English, you're going to find the word lupines.
Beans.
I don't know what that is. They're very, very hard beans. Right? Deshakalu of the Kocham that were cooked by non-Jews, Achle Yisrael, and eaten by Jews. Velo Amalahu Velo Midi. Now, here in this story, Rav Chiya says nothing. Okay. Also coming to Rav Yochanan. So now he goes to Rav Yochanan. Now you remember, Rav Yochanan so far today told his brother-in-law, go back to Batsra and tell them in Batsra you were wrong. Meaning you said something was Asr and it's not true. It wasn't Asr. Here Rav Yochanan is going to tell Rabbi Chiya, you didn't say anything and you needed to say a lot. Meaning you should have said, in all three of these cases, no, no, and no. Different levels of no, but you should have said no in all three. Amale, and here Rav Yochanan says, now this is going to sound a little rough, okay? But this is Rav Yochanan Shitaso. We don't paskin like Rav Yochanan on all of these points, but it doesn't matter. We're not right now learning about Rav Yochanan. Amale, number one, Seva Achriz Abaneim Shem Mamzerich. You go back there and you tell them that the children are mamzerim. Okay, that's number one. Number two, talking about shooting the messenger. Number two, al yena mishum yayin nesach. You go back and you tell them that that wine is yayin nesach. And number three, al tormasa mishum bishulei avde kochavim mishum she'enam b'nei Torah. And number three, you tell them that the tormusim, those beans that were cooked by the non-Jew, they're not allowed to eat them because they're not B'nai Torah. Okay. We're going to go through each one of these individually and give each one of them its full attention. Okay, let's go over number one. The Gemara, we're going on in the Gemara, but the Gemara now is going to review and discuss every single one of these positions of Rabbi Yochanan. Now remember, who impregnated these women? So they were converts, she'malu v'lo tavlu. They got a milah, but they didn't tovel in the mikvah. Which is funny, they went through the hard part of conversion. Right? The part which, you know, I'm sure as a convert, right, is the part that, you know, where the convert listens to that part and says, no, you got to be kidding me. Right? That's milah. They did that part. Right, so they did the hard part, but they didn't do the tefillah. They didn't tovel in the mikvah. And Rabbi Yochanan says that's not enough. They're not converted yet. Conversion is two requirements. It's milah and it's tefillah. I know there's another part of conversion which is kabbalah for mitzvos, the acceptance of mitzvos, but and that's important, by the way, but that's not a tangible part of the conversion. Right, the tangible parts of the conversion, the parts that are concrete, are the physical parts are, for a man, he needs a milah and he needs to tovel in the mikvah. They didn't tovel in the mikvah yet, so they're not converted yet. By the way, we all agree to that. There's no discussion over there. That is correct. Here's the part where Rav Yochanan is rough on. And that is, the women who are impregnated by these people who are not yet converts, which means essentially they're not Jewish, the children are mamzer. That's the rough part of Rav Yochanan. That's the part that we don't follow la halacha. Okay?
Abanim Shem Mamzer, Rav Yochanan. Is this a formula, Malamu Tavlu, for saying there was no Kabbalah Sakhitsos?
I don't think so. I think it's just a.
Just about the tefillah?
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, why wouldn't they do the tefillah?
Why wouldn't they do it? I don't know. I don't know, right.
Why did they be doing the follow Rav Yochanan?
Why, huh?
Why did you say we don't follow?
We don't follow Rav Yochanan. La halacha, we don't.
Why do we follow then? I mean, we don't.
I'll explain. Rav Yochanan, Tamid, Amar Rav Yochanan, Olam, Eino Ger, Ashi, Mel, V'yidvol. Okay, so first of all, you're not a ger until you do Mila and Tefillah. Okay, so that first part of Rav Yochanan, we accept. Meaning that's La halacha. Right? That a convert is not a convert until he goes through both parts of the process. Number one. Number two. Kevin de Lo Tavil. Okay, so he's not a Jew. You will of course notice that there's no little footnote over there in that Gemara that tells you where to find this in the Rambam or in the Shulchan Aruch, because you won't find this in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. But doesn't matter. In other words, we're learning the Daf, right? Rav Yochanan's opinion is that if a non-Jew impregnates a woman and they have a child, the child is a mamzer. Now, for Rav Yochanan, the formula for a mamzer, how do you make a mamzer? The formula for a mamzer is if the marriage doesn't take. Right? If there's no marriage, there's no mamzer. It's kind of similar to what we say here in the English language, meaning, in the English language, when someone comes out of, child is born out of wedlock, so we call him, well, we use another word instead of mamzer, but I'm saying, but that really is Rav Yochanan's formula. Rav Yochanan's formula is, well, if there's no marriage, then therefore the child's a mamzer. We don't follow that la halacha. What's our formula? What's the accepted halachic formula for what creates a mamzer? Arayas. Arayas. If it's an iser erva, if the man and woman are forbidden to one another through arayas, through erva, meaning she's a married woman, meaning she's a family member, she's a relative, Then the producing child, the product child, is a mamzer. Interestingly enough, although nida is an erva, nida is an exception to the rule. Child is born, even when she's a nida, the child is not a mamzer, even though nida is an erva. So nida is its own parsha. Nida is a hybrid, right? It's weird. Let's just say it like that. But in the meantime, however, when it comes to all other Isuri Arayos, all the Arayos mentioned in Parshas Achrimos and Parshas Kedoshim, if a child comes out from that union, then the child is a mamzer. Okay.
Is Rabbi Yochanan's view based on Kedushin, Shein, Isuri, Rabbi?
I don't remember. The Gemara Kedushin discusses it. I don't remember what the source for Rabbi Yochanan is, but it really, the formula for him is if there's no marriage, so then the child is a mamzer. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. So that is Rav Yochanan. Fine. That's number one. So he tells him, go back to the town of Gavla and tell them that the children are mamzerim. Okay. And again, la halacha, we wouldn't say that, although we would agree with the point that they're not Jewish. The men are not Jewish. And we also would agree that we shouldn't be impregnated by men who are not Jewish. We agree with that one as well. We don't agree with the mamzerim.
What do we call the children then?
The children are
still Jews. What would we call the children?
Jews. They were Jews.
Jews.
Yeah.
Right.
Gozer al yena mishum yayin esach. Number two, the gzera on wine because of yayin nesach. Mishum, now again, this goes back to what we discussed at the beginning of today's daf. The non-Jew didn't touch the wine. All he did was dilute the wine. So, is the wine yayin nesach? No. Should you drink it? No. Right? The mishum lech lech. I mean, nazir schor schor lekarmelo sikrav. Again, the Gemara keeps going back to that analogy. Right? Is a nazir allowed to walk through a vineyard? Yes. Should he do it? No. Right, because a nazir should not put himself in that position. Similarly, we shouldn't put in our positions where a non-Jew is diluting the wine. And finally, al tamusim mishum bishulah dechav lefishayim b'nei Torah. Okay, don't eat the beans because they're not b'nei Torah. Now, this term, second day in a row that we're using this terminology of einam b'nei Torah. Einam b'nei Torah means that, look, technically it's okay. But if I go into that community and I say in that community, this is okay, they're not going to have fine tuning. They're not going to be able to differentiate and say, oh, this is okay, but something else which is similar to this is not okay. So if you have a community like that, so it's what the Gemara calls Einam B'nei Torah. But they just don't, they don't understand nuance and detail. So under such circumstances, you go into such a town and you basically say to the people in those towns, it's Asr. Right. Even though it's not really Asr. Okay? That's the idea, that's the concept of Einam B'nei Torah. So on the third point about the cooking of the beans, so Rav Yochanan says, tell them it's Bishul Akum, but I'm telling you, only say that to them because they're Einam B'nei Torah. Meaning really it's okay, but just don't go in there and say it's okay because they're not going to understand nuance. And they're going to think other types of foods cooked by non-Jew are also permitted.
Okay. It's okay because
that thing. So the Gemara, right? So the Gemara discusses.
Just a question about the last thing. I don't understand the diluting of the wine. So they call it a pasuk by nazir. By nazir, you have to stay away from it. So therefore, by yai nazir, how did they make the jump that?
It's not a pasuk. It's a concept.
I'm saying the concept's by nazir. It's
correct.
Because
the concept is. Just keep away. Meaning there's no iser. Right. Correct. 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 You're right.
I understand that's by yayin. Okay. I understand
right.
That's
right.
It's a wine issue.
Right.
Well, who says that? I mean, there's a lot of halachas. Well, by a nazir, even other byproducts of the
right.
Grapes. But that's not true.
Right.
It's not a one-time.
Right. So, but the Gemara on Nunches Amud Beis quoted about four different Amorayim who use borrow the concept of lech lech and apply it to this idea of diluting wine by a non-Jew. How do they get a word the Masorah from? I don't know. But in other words, maybe that's why the Gemara kept repeating it. Right? The Gemara quoted it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara quoted it in the name of Rav Yirmiya. Rav Asi, right? It's
that doesn't even have to be Xerushava.
No. No. Gemara just said it. You're right. The Gemara doesn't give a source for it. The Gemara just said it. Okay. So on the third thing, so there ain't a B'nai Torah. So time of Einam B'nai Torah, B'nai Torah Shari. So the Gemara says, now we understand that really it's permissible, but just for the town of Gavla, for them, no. Why is it okay? Okay. So the Gemara now wants to understand. Why is that okay? We're talking about a food that's inedible. The tumas bean, whatever it is, it's an inedible bean. It's a hard bean. And it needs cooking. So why is it okay? So the Gemara says exactly this question. It shouldn't be okay. According to the strict letter of the law, it shouldn't be okay. Because it's not edible. It's not an orange. It's not an apple. Right? It's inedible. The cooking makes it edible. Therefore, it should be subject to the rules of Bishul Akum. So the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan, ki achlishna sfirlei. So the Gemara says, yeah. Rav Yochanan doesn't follow that pattern, that formula for what is Bishul Akum, what isn't Bishul Akum. He follows the other one. What's the other one? The Amar Rav Shmuel b'Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Kol Sheinon Ola El Shulchan, Shom Malachim Alafis Bo Esapas, En Bo Mishum Bishulei Ovdei Kochavim. The formula that he uses, the heter that he uses is
if it doesn't go on the Shulchan Malachim, on the table of king. Meaning, as we discussed earlier in the Masech, the Daf Chavtes, Bishul Akum is only for those things which are significant foods. If it's not a significant food, if it is Einon Ola or Shulchan Malachim, it's not subject to Bishul Akum. Like we discussed back then, the reason why is very straightforward, because Bishul Akum is all about chasnus, it's all about intermarriage. If it's a simple food, you will not become intimate with that individual just because he cooked for you something which isn't really that big a deal. It's not that important. It's not that chashev. If he cooks for you something which is chashev, a nice piece of meat, now that'll lead to a social relationship which will lead to more than that. Right? That's the idea of Ola Shulchan Malachim. So over here, beans aren't a big deal. Right? Beans don't go on the king's table. Termusim are not that exciting. So therefore, Me'ikra Adin, Rav Yochanan says, it's not really Bishul Akum. But when you know what? When you go to Gavla, they're going to know the difference between what is Ola Shulchan Malachim, what isn't Ola Shulchan Malachim. You know what? Just tell them it's Aser. That's because they're Einam B'nei Torah, because they are not B'nei Torah, Taima Deina B'nei Torah, Ha'B'nei Torah Shari, period.
What about Machal Behema? In other words, we can have some use from these beans.
Yes, but it's still not under the category of Bishul Akum. By the way, again, just a little bit of halachic discussion this morning. We follow both. Meaning, in terms of the heterim, right? The Gemara over here says, "Well, pick and choose." We actually follow both heterim, meaning that in our world of Bishul Akum, if it's something which could have been eaten raw, so then before you cooked it, cooking it does not make it aser in Bishul Akum. If it's something that doesn't go on the king's table, and even though it couldn't have been eaten raw, it's also not subject to Bishul Akum. We follow both of these heterim, both Nechal Kamoshu Chai and Ein Ola Shulchan Malachim. Okay, next. Bominei Rav Kahana. Bominei Mei Rav Kahana. Ovikochav Mashi Lech Anavim Legas. Okay? Can a guy harvest the grapes and bring the grapes over to the vat? Now remember, our discussions up until now has been once it's stomped on, and once it flows down the vat through the canal, and once it goes into the pit, then it becomes wine subject to Yayin Nesach. We also discussed, Rav Huna disagreed with our Mishnah. Rav Huna back on Anhei says, no, even in the vat, it's going to be subject to Yayin Nesach. But here, we're well before any of that. Here, we're at the harvesting stage. In other words, we're out in the field, we're just cutting the grapes off the vine, and the question is, can a goy help us do that? So, Baal Minei Mei Rav Kahana, Vikochad Mashi Lechan Avim Legas, Amalahu Aser. So he says Aser. Now, it's funny, I didn't expect that to come. Meaning, of all of our discussions, what would be the issue of him harvesting the grapes? It should be okay. And again, look where he goes. Mishum Lech Lech Amrin Nazira, Sechor Sechor Le Karma Lo Sikrov. Yeah, because. In other words, we'll say to a Nazir, don't go through the vineyard. Now, you know you're not allowed to eat grapes. Is it also for you to go to the vineyard? No. Should you do it? No. Same thing over here. Is it technically prohibited for him to help you harvest the grapes? You didn't press him yet.
He's not making you on that
circuit. No. You're not pressing.
In the other case, a Jew helped them.
You're not pressing the wine. You didn't start the process of
wine yet.
You didn't juice it. It's just grapes. Again, Aser because of Lech Lech Amr Nazir, Skor Skor Lech Amr Lasikrov, just, you shouldn't do it. Just stay away from it.
Can you say the whole concept of Yayin Nesach itself is a Gezer? Isn't this a Gezer on top of a Gezerah?
Well, Yayin Nesach itself. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So Yayin Nesach itself is a Gezerah. And then you have to just, what the Gemara is kind of figuring out is what's part of the Gezerah.
Oh, I see.
Right? It's basically a discussion of what is the actual Gezer itself. The Gemara says, look, Tosefta, right? And the Tosefta says that if a non-Jew brings grapes to the vat, either in Salem or Dudurin, however you pronounce that, Alpha Pisha Ayayim is Aleph Aleim, Mutter is permissible. So how can you tell me it's awesome when the Tosefta says it's Mutter? Yeah, that's a little strange. So the Gemara gives a very simple answer. Okay, look, you're right. If it's done already, it's fine. There's no Aser. There's no Iser. Over here, the discussion is, You're asking me, lechatchila, what should be your a priori position? Don't do it. Don't ask a guy to go out there into the field and harvest the grapes with you. Right? And I'm telling you, it's not usur. It's something you should not do because of the concept of lech lech.
Is that practice nowadays?
I don't know. Even the harvesting, I'm not sure. Okay.
They get a lot of Palestinians to do
it. Yeah, right. Okay, last story of the morning. Okay, good. I'm sorry.
What happened to the pouring of the wine? I mean,
Gemara says shouldn't do it.
Good. So what happens nowadays in like the waiters?
But all the wines nowadays are mevushal. You see, we obviate the whole issue.
I see.
Because we cook the wines, and once you cook the wines, we discussed this earlier in the Masechta.
Right.
So cooked wine is no longer subject to yai nesach stam yena because they don't use it for their libations. Cooked wine for them is you know.
What about the concept of intermarriage and so on with the cooked wine?
Right. In other words, it is a chiddush. It is a novel idea that once it's cooked, like it's totally out of the whole discussion of stam yena. You could have made the argument that look, it still leads to socialization, yeah. Right? You could have made the argument. We don't make that argument. We say la halacha that once it's cooked, that's it. It's and you know, in my I'm uncouth, right? I admit it. So for me, no, I'm being serious. I don't know the difference between cooked and non-cooked. Someone came to our house and brought a non-cooked bottle of wine, and we're so excited. It doesn't taste any different to me. I don't
but
see.
You told us yesterday, Rashi said in the 1100s that they don't know about Avodah Zarah. So
that's a different issue. That's a different issue. That's an issue of the argument over there. It's not Asar Bahana, right? You can't drink it, but it's not Asar Bahana. That's what Rashi was quoting in the name of the Gaonim. That because our non-Jews nowadays, they don't know about Avodah Zarah, so their contact with the wine doesn't make it Asar Bahana. But you still can't drink. You still can't drink it.
What about the pasteurization that they do? Is that sufficient?
Right, so that was the big discussion. Rav Moshe, you know, 50, 60 years ago, had that discussion about is pasteurization going to be enough of a cooking process?
And he felt it was enough.
Yeah, right. He felt it was enough. Hahu esroga denafal chavisa dechamra. Last story of the day. An esrog fell into a barrel of wine. Okay, save the esrog. Right, and id, what was the word? Idre over kochav v'shaklei. A guy jumped up and quickly, oh my gosh, the esrog. It must have been right before Sukkot. And he put his hand into the barrel of wine to get the esrog. Okay, now let's be very clear about what we're talking about right now. We're talking about negia below kavana.
Right.
Meaning that he touched the wine, right? Yeah, there's contact.
Without intent.
But he didn't have any intention whatsoever to touch the wine. His whole mind was on the esrog right now. So he is, I was going to say knee deep, but elbow deep in the barrel of wine, but with no, yeah. It's funny, I was also, as I was picturing this, I was thinking as well.
What?
That the esrog doesn't drop to the bottom.
Yeah, well, that'll float.
Okay, let's...
And you think, and the assumption is that this is different than the guy that was angry
guy. Right, yes. Correct.
Yeah.
So
Amar to shake the wine. Here he didn't want to
shake. Amar lehu Rav Ashi. So listen carefully to how the Gemara handles this situation. It's very interesting. We'll go through the Gemara. I'll go through a little bit of the Rishonim over here on this discussion on the Gemara. Naktal yade, hold his hand. Meaning, his hand right now is submerged into the barrel of wine. Now you know that as his hand went in, he wasn't thinking about the wine. It was a total incidental point that his hand's in wine right now, because right now his mind is all about getting that esrog, bobbing for esrog. And
was Rabayashi was present there?
Wait. So Amalu Ravashi, not Teliyade, grab his hand, kihechidolol shechshech. Look, his hand is in the wine right now, and right now it's all good, and I'll further qualify what I mean by that when I say it's all good. Right, I'm gonna qualify. So right now it's all good, because he didn't mean to put his hand in there, grab it. Because now his hand's in there, and he's going to be thinking to himself, oh, what an opportunity I could do. While my hand is in here, and now I got the S-stroke, You know what I mean? I'll do a little shirshach. I'll do a little right, a little shaking of the esrog of the wine. The lola shach sheikh bay u bartsua ad the shaifa, and pour out the wine, right, so that we could save the wine. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi, so okay. Yeah, now. Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. Now. Okay. So let's take a look at Tosfos together. Now, Tuliyad de Kehechad Olo Shach Shech. Okay. Tzarech Lomar. See Tosfos. It's the first Tosfos on the page. A lot of spillover Tosfos over here. Okay. Tosfos. First Tosfos on the page. Now, Tuliyad de Kehechad Olo Shach Shech. Tzarech Lomar. Shebach Nasas Yado Afa Pisha Yodeshu Yain. Eino chashav shichshuch laasra v'hana mibneisha hayatar likach esrogo shalai tanev. Okay, Tosfos says, look, his hand went into the barrel. You could say that that's agitation, but it's not. Says Tosfos, it's clearly not, because all he wants to do is just simply save the esrog in the wine. It's not going to be good, so he's dying to get the esrog out of there. So while he puts his hand in over here, it's not shirshuch. That's not agitation. Read again carefully what Tosfos says, because Tosfos is very clear about what he's saying. He says, "Eino chashav shirshuch la'osro behana." We're not going to say it's osro behana, right? What Tosfos clearly is saying, and we've been hitting this point again and again: if there's contact between the non-Jew and the wine, it's osro b'shtia, right? You can't drink it, right? Contact already makes it osro b'shtia. Even incidental contact is going to make it us to b'shtia.
Even if you know he's not
an oyvim, huh? Yeah. In other words, correct. Even if he's a day old, contact between non-Jew and the wine is going to make the wine us to b'shtia. The only thing left to discuss now is Isser Hana. But Isser Hana only is going to come about if there is this real possibility. It doesn't have to happen, but as long as there's this real possibility that he will do a shichshuch, he will do a nisuch hayayin. And nisuch hayayin doesn't mean pouring, as we've been discussing now. Even agitation, a splattering, that's enough to make yainesach. So over here, let me first present Tosfos, and then I'll pause for questions. Esrog shalo itanev udami, and you know what it's like, says Tosfos, lemada du biyad aliba derabban and damer leil yimakir. You know, it's like we discussed just yesterday or 2 days ago, where the governmental official comes in, measures the wine. So in other words, his hand is in the wine, and we said just a couple days ago, according to the Chachamim, he could sell the wine. Can't drink it. He touched it, but you can sell the wine. Same thing over here. Umiu ba'utzasa, reading on in Tosfos, ba'utzasa esrog hutzrach leminka biyadei sheinu tar kokach kamal ba'utzas yado de medida de la'el. However, now that he's secured the esrog, he's got no more concerns in life, right? He's a carefree non-Jew now with his hand in the wine. So now Tosfos says, now you have to worry. Because now he secured the esrog, his hand is in the wine, and now there's a real possibility that he will do nisach. And here's the interesting chiddush of the Gemara. If we hold his hand, and we know that he didn't actually agitate, so we remove the possibility of shirshuch, so the wine remains mutter bahana. And that's a chiddush. The hasam, and unlike the case of medida, of measuring, Tosfos makes the argument that in the case of measuring, while he puts his hand in, while he takes his hand out, he's so engrossed in the act of measuring, there we don't concern ourselves with any type of shichshuch. So there, the wine, even as he takes his hand out, is going to be mutabana. Mashenkin over here, once he secured the esrog, he's carefree. And that means that there's a possibility of shichshuch. Okay? He goes on, he quotes the opinion of Rabbi Natan, he quotes the Rashbam, but that's a basic idea that Tosfos lays down over here in the Gemara.
What if he threw the esrog in?
That's kocho.
So
the kocho is nothing.
Yeah. So we'll not be able to drink
it. No, kocho is nothing. Kocho is nothing. If he doesn't...
force.
If it's force, is nothing.
Yeah, but in this case, he touched it. Where the other thing, the other
no, here
he
was no,
he touched the esrog.
No, he touched the esrog, but his hand was submerged in the wine. Throwing something into the wine is just kocha. That's nothing.
Can a get be given this way? Of course, with two Jews, where one extends it and the fellow behind him holds his hand so that he can drop the get in a chutzner.
I'm not sure. I don't know. Yes.
Something specific about
the esrog. No, the Gemara. This is a case by case study, so this is anecdotal. So I don't know. There's nothing. Could be that there's something to it, but just the Gemara is just giving us the stories and giving us the reactions to the story, right? This is, in other words, as I mentioned in the beginning of today's daf, for whatever reasons the Gemara has chosen in the Yai Nesach discussion, the Gemara is much more anecdotal. It's just the way the Gemara operates over here.
Maybe that's where it's sink.
Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Let's just finish it. We'll finish up. Okay? So, Amar Avashi, Al V'kochem, Denaska, L'cham, Yisrael, V'kavana, Afagav. Sorry. So, Uvirtsu, Ad Deshaifa. Amar Avashi, Hayo, V'kochavim, Denaska, L'cham, Yisrael, V'kavana, Afagav, Delizvune, Lo, V'kochav, Machrin, Aser, Shari, Lele, Mishkel, Damei, Mehahu, O, V'kochavim. Oh, okay. You know what? Do me a favor. Before I go on in the Gemara, before I do that, there is one thing I want to talk about, and then we'll read one more piece of Gemara, and we'll be done with this morning. Go back to Nun Ches Amud Beis. Okay, it's just interesting, very interesting. We've been discussing now incidental contact between a non-Jew and the wine, right? And we now have known, we've seen this through a number of stories in the Gemara. If there is incidental contact between a non-Jew and the wine is Aser B'Shtiyah. What if the non-Jew puts his hand in the wine dafka?
What do you mean?
Meaning,
just
he just doing it for no other reason than to say, look, I know you Jews. I know you Jews can't drink wine if I put my hand inside. I'm putting my hand inside because I want to ruin your wine.
Right. You have these incidents. The store owner.
The store owner... He put his hand in the wine to show that there was wine there.
Well,
right?
He was sticking it in his ear.
No,
Hedy,
it's a good point. I'm just, right? Just, but listen carefully. He's just doing it for no other reason.
This is malicious.
Just to be mean and angry and malicious. Look at Tosfos. Tosfos quotes the Or Zeruah. Cause of Hari Or Zeruah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on...
The case that we had.
Right, that's what Hedy's saying. Hedy's saying it's very similar to the case of Rava. Okay, it's
not malicious too. He was to destroy his wine that this guy would not sell his wine.
Not necessarily. I agree with Ben. I'm with Ben on this one. Ben is saying
angry. He was trying to. Here's the wine. You're lying to me. I'm going to stick my hand in and show you. Here's the wine.
Right. Kos of Hari or Zeruah. Or Zeruah. One of the early Balei HaTosfos. Right, not often quoted in Tosfos, but Kasav Ari or Zeruah, Bizmanazeh, Ovi Kochavim. Everyone see why I'm on Nun Ches Amud Beis. It's not a different Hamaskel. It's bolded, but it's just a halachic discussion within Tosfos. Okay, that for whatever reason got bolded, whatever the publisher felt that he needed to be bolded. Bizmanazeh Ovi Kochavim Sheshich Shech Biyeno She Yisrael Mutu LaMachro. If the whole intent of the non-Jew is just basically to say, look, I know you people won't drink it if I put my hand in. Here I go. I'm putting my hand in. And he does it lahachiso ulahafsido. Just to make trouble, just to cause him a loss. Hahu ashari afilu bishtiya. The Or Zeruah writes, it's not asr. It's not even asr bishtiya. Techiai gavna lo gazru rabbanan. Right? That's the chachamim where it goes there. Where the Or Zeruah gets this from, I'm not sure. Right? It's an unbelievable chiddush. I understand it. I absolutely understand it.
No.
Huh? Right. I see where it's coming from, You know, I just don't know where the source is. It's such an interesting psak of the Or Zeruah, and it's brought down Lahalacha. Shulchan Aruch brings down the Or Zeruah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did a little bit of homework.
But it's paradoxical, because when you don't have the intent, you don't let them, it's not possible to drink
them. Right? Isn't it interesting? Meaning, incidental contact will make it Aser B'Shtiyah. And here, if he goes out of his way to do it just to torment and to torture, so the Chachamim didn't make such a gzera. It is interesting. It is very interesting. That's why I brought it up. Because it's such an interesting psak halakha.
Maybe they didn't want the goyim to do that,
A little bit more for this morning. We're going to end Amar Ravashi Ayov Kochavim. We're back to the Gemara. We're 7 lines down from the top of the page. If a non-Jew denaschel lecham di Yisrael bekavana, so a non-Jew does nisuch. And he does nisuch because he wants to do nisuch, not the Or Zeruah, not to just to anger, but he does nisuch. Now look, that wine, you can't do anything with that wine. You can't drink the wine, you can't sell the wine, but you know what though? You could say to the non-Jew, you know what you did? You damaged my wine. So you owe me. Yeah, you owe me. You have to pay me nezek. Now, is he going to listen? Who knows? It doesn't matter. Right now, we're just discussing the halacha. Just 1 second. So the halacha is that you can collect on nezek. My time, mikle kalye. You know what it's like? It's like he's burning your wine. Right? In other words, look. The wine is no longer there. It's asa b'shti, it's asa b'hana. You can't do anything with the wine. But he destroyed it. It'd be no different than him burning your wine. Rav Yehuda ben Bava, Rav Yehuda ben Bezerah, matirim mishum shnei dvarim. Echad shein menaschin yain ala bifnei avodas kochavim, echad shar malo kol heimencha sheteesar yeini laon si. The opinions of Rav Yehuda ben Bezerah and Rav Yehuda ben Bava is that if a goy comes over and he's menasech your wine, you can say to him, my wine is still good. Why? Number one, they only do nisach in front of their avodah zara, and two, it's my wine, it's not your wine. How could you be menasech my wine? Now, just to end off with this point today, Rashi is very clear. We don't paskin like Rav Yehuda ben Bezerah, right? Neither of these arguments really hold up, right? Neither one, right? You don't do nisach. They only do nisach in front of their avodah zara. That's not true. They do nisach even without, not in front of their avodah zara. We don't do. You can't be menasech my wine. That's not true. They can't be menasech your wine. It's an action, right? They can't be menasech your wine. But Rashi says, but what do you see over here? We're not going to accept either of these arguments. But what we are going to accept is the idea that you did something to me. You damaged me. You damaged my property. So therefore, as Rashi points out, you can ask for damages.
How is this different from grama? The damage is grama. It's
hezek sheino nicker. Right? That's basically your point. I don't know if that's your point, but I'm gonna help you over here. I'm gonna sharpen your point. It's hezek sheino nicker. It's damages that is not obvious.
Yeah, it's totally grama.
Okay, fine. Okay, good. Good point. All right, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up.